Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I've been SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a talkcast every Thursday night, starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions, call 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talks website, www.talkshoot.com. You can search for Quality 17702 or for Starfleet Universe On Call. Either way, you will find us. And of course, I also co-broadcast over on twitch.tv. To find me there, just go to twitch.tv/SFU On Call. That's SFUONCALL. And you can watch there and participate in the chat room there, which is, I always try to pay attention to that. So come and join us. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, my personal account is Paul Franz, PAUFRNZ. Just a reminder that I am very proud to be a Catholic, an O's fan, suffering at the moment. And also, I love tech. So, any of those bother you, especially the O's fans, don't follow me. And of course, I have a podcast account for any correspondence, or more importantly, the announcing of the topics of the week. And of course, I post up the YouTube video, a link to the YouTube video. And that's at SFUO On Call, SFUONCALL. And that's it. And of course, if you want to watch what's going on when it comes to Franz Games, just go to on Twitter, just go to Franz Games. So now, of course, this lovely talkcast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Now, quick thing from ADB, they have a trick-or-treat sale, which is ongoing all the way through November 15th. So it's even after Halloween. Now, you can get your F&E countersheet grab bags, 8 countersheets, for only $10. Also, some deeply discounted Starline 2500 ships. These are the old ships. You know, the old, I was going to say, I don't think they're pewter. I think they might be tin. But the metal ships, let's put them that way. I'm safe. And also on sale are cabs log number 20 through 29. And just a reminder, all of those are they're on sale. They're only as supplies last. So as soon as they run out of a captain's log, it is gone. And obviously you won't be able to get it anymore on sale anyway. They might reprint, but we'll just have to, they have to run out first. Moving onward and onward, when it comes to the SFB Online tournaments, we have, of course, the Starfire tournament. Sapphire Star Tournament. I don't know why I keep doing that. We got 11 signups, including myself. So if you want to fight me, possibly. I'm sure you want to, but you can. And we have still 5 slots available. Actually, I'll be sending out an email. I was hoping that I wouldn't have to send out an email because they announce it. And usually people fill up relatively quickly, but obviously not quickly enough. So there's still 5 slots available, 5 slots. So if you want to sign up for that tournament, it's going to cost you $10 a pop. Now, of course, when you sign up and you win the first game, all you need to do is win the first game. And basically you recoup your entry fee. That's all you need to do is win the first round. You know, now if you lose the first round, you're only out $10. That's 2 Starbucks coffees. Come on. Really, you know, of course, that these days is like 3, it's a little less than, that's like 2.5 gallons of tank of gas. Gas is so darn expensive these days. Very soon coming up, when it comes to the online client, I'll definitely be releasing one this weekend. I had planned on doing it this week, but some things came up. And also there was a issue from Frank where they're having a problem with one of the fighters, And I looked, and I see no problem with it. I'd like to know what exactly is going on. So they sent me both. I asked for the game file and also a feedback, and they sent me both. So I'll be working on that probably tomorrow, possibly this weekend. I'm not sure which one at the moment, because I'm also thinking about helping out the archery club, which I belong to. Moving on, when it comes to FedCom library progress, I've not actually worked on that, and I apologize for not actually working on more of that and get that progressing. So with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one and Paul Friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, it's just me. I'll be here all alone. So sad. Of course, I will be joined by the ever-loving chat room. I know Dave's here, and he's currently on TalkShoe, and I'm sure he'll join me over on the Twitch stream very, very shortly. Okay. Did they move things around? I think they moved things around. Twitch is weird, just to let you know. I can't watch my own feed from the iPad app to act as like a monitor, as a second screen and chat within the app. I have to log in. I have to go to the website on my iPad to keep an eye on the chat room so that you guys can see me. And then when I want to, I can share the screen and it won't share the chat room. It's just goofy. Okay, so they didn't move. It's that's weird. Okay. Anyhow, moving onward and forward from that little football. Actually, I have the main topic for tonight. Actually, I want to just discuss what I've, as if it wasn't kind of clear, and I think I pretty much announced it last week, which is I'm going to, you know, after I've done this is my third, I've already done three matchups. When it comes to tournament ships, I'm just going to do a series of these from different ones. If you guys want me to discuss tactics and strategies on certain matchups, please email me at sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. And I will be happy to put that towards the top of the list. Now, obviously, if you are mentioning one that I already did, you know, I'm not gonna do it again. What I'll do is probably mention it in that upcoming podcast. Say, okay, well, go to podcast number, blah blah blah. But you know, I plan on doing this. Basically, gonna be a series of hey Iggy. This is gonna be a series of tournament. Now, I might intersperse that with other content, but at the moment, I'm focusing on just tournament ship matchups. And obviously tonight is going to be quite interesting in that both ships have option mounts. And it's not just that they both have, what that means overall is that if each ship, their ships have option mounts, okay, well, when it comes to the option mounts, how do I select them? And, you know, because the issue with, of course, the Winox box off just right off the bat is that it gets one set for the whole tournament. And the Orion gets two, so it can choose. So, hey, Chris. That being said, there's one topic I wanted to discuss really quickly, and it's an idea because of Dirk. Jeez, I couldn't remember his name. This is awful. Dirk, who's working on that wonderful website to process Warlord turns, not process Warlord turns, but basically be the Warlord aid client. Now, obviously, it was obvious to me, and I'm sure it's obvious to everyone in the Starfleet Warlord community, is that it's taking a lot longer than I ever expected, and that's fine. But the one thing that I, that mentioned and really it rung a bell with me is that, you know, that is this one person, what they wanted to do is they wanted to process the war, you know, have a, basically an aid on their mobile device, just because of they want to have the ability while they're on the go, away from their computer, their main big CPU unit, to process turns. Now, I'm sure everyone here will have to agree, entering in orders via an app is going to be painful to a certain degree. When you have a small amount of turns, that's fine. And I know what I'd like to do, and I thought about this many, many years ago, which was the whole idea was that you have to simplify the movement of ships, be able to basically say, these are fleets, you know, combine them up so you have to enter them one time and you're done. But what I might do is just go back to the old aid solution. In that, the whole idea is that you can duplicate. You can take the previous line, you just duplicate it, bump, 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 and that will help you enter into orders quickly. And but do that in a mobile app. Now, I've at the moment I was looking for cross-platform, cross-platform. Developing, you know, language. And so currently it seems like probably the best one is actually Kotlin, which I've been playing around with. And I think I've mentioned that about the basically SFU adventure that thing I've been working on. It's now it's on and off at the moment. I need to focus on it and get some more work done on that, because I still want to do that. Yeah, Chris, there's Thursday by football. There have been 30 tonight football for a long time. Just ask Dave. Reminder, Dave, what's the current score? Because it is football season. And that's one of the things that we do on the SFU On Call. And anyone else who's been listening to me long enough knows that invariably, it's Tampa versus the Eagles. Interesting. I'll probably intersperse this. And of course, most people won't care unless you're actually listening live. That's the only time that might matter at all for you. And it's, I apologize. That's crazy. I'm sorry. Tampa Bay is currently winning 21-7. And this is before the half. So, that's a lot of scoring going on for that's even before the first half is over. Yes, thanks, Dave. Yeah, when it comes to baseball, is the Dodgers still up? Actually, Giants should be up by now. Yeah, if it's time enough, because the Giants were pretty much knocking, getting outs when it comes to the Dodgers. So the Giants should be up and running. Should be up to the bat. Sorry. But anyway, so the idea would be, it's just, I'm thinking about just doing a very simplistic app. The whole idea of the app is simple. And that is, and I have to check with Android, which is weird because I don't know Android. But I can run a simulator on my computer. And that is, I'm pretty sure that what you can do is you can have the one of the mail apps saved to a directory. You know, I'm not sure where how that whole thing works, and then have it so that the A can load that file. Yeah, that I'm not sure if you can do what you can do with iPhone. And iPhone, you can connect it up to open a file using a certain app. Yeah, Chris. Yeah, it's called Android Studio, and Android Studio has a simulator with that you can download and run just like under Xcode. You can run the iPhone simulator, which is cool. And actually, I've watched some videos on using Kotlin, and it's interesting because most of it says, you know, it talks about the Kotlin mainly being the back end code, not much of the UI code. Though you can still do some UI stuff. I'm not sure how far that goes when it comes to the shared UI code. You know, cause obviously there are certain things that you only can do on the iPhone. There are certain things you only can do on Android. So you have to be able to do, basically you need to be able to program in both. Me, you know, obviously I would probably first, anything that was custom to a certain phone, you know, certain operating systems, I'd probably lean on iPhone first. And because I understand the UI there, you know, obviously I've not done much programming there. But, you know, that's one thing I would like to do because I think I might be able to get that up and running more quickly than what taking Dirk so long, you know. Or another possibility, which I was also thinking about, was just having like a mobile website, which then you can upload the file to the mobile website, then you can work on your turn, and then you can download the result. Now, the big issue with that one is I'm still trying to avoid logins. So it's possible I can do it, but then basically you have to remember to download when your session is complete before you quote unquote log off. You'd have to download it or something along those lines, or possibly have like, what's it like a nonce? You know, basically a secure random number, which would represent you, which would be relatively secure. You know, obviously someone could do a playback attack and da-da-da-da, you're owned. You know, they can see your turns. Now the question is, let's be honest, guys. Starfleet World is still relatively a small community. Given that, I don't think there are going to be many people that are going to want to hack another person's turn. You know, I mean, really spend the time and effort to do that because of, you know, one, it'd be a random number. Two, I'd probably hash that with some other secret value, which, okay. And since it's hashed, it makes it even harder to predict what is the exact value, you know. And the nonce would be from the server side, so you don't know what the random number is based off of. Because you get that plus the secret, then you have that hashed. How do you know what is the value unless you actually pick it up on the wire or have your phone is hacked or computer's hacked? You know, as long as I do, you know, use like a secure connection, it makes it kind of difficult to do that. So anyhow, that's the two things I'm thinking of. And again, I'm thinking of Kotlin, the big issue for the UI, because obviously I want it to be a very simple UI, is what are the tools available to produce a UI relatively quickly? Something along the lines like Visual Basic for the web. If anyone knows that, please tell me. I know there's Oracle provides something called, I think, I want to call it VBCS, but I can't remember. But even that assumes that there's some security in the back end, which needs greater support. And I'm not sure if VBCS actually will work for sites outside of Oracle or what. Oh, yeah, Mike, I definitely agree. But anyway, so that's one thing that, you know, I've got running around in my mind at the moment. Just a little something. So back to the original what is the main topic for this evening. And that is, the main topic for this evening is the tournament matchup of the Wynn Auxiliary Battlecruiser versus the Orion TBR, you know, the tournament battle raider. I'm not sure what the difference is there between the regular battle raider and a tournament battle raider. I really have not looked. Okay, thanks, Dave. Top of the Giants versus Dodgers, the top of the third. It's still scoreless, which is... I was gonna say good, not bad. No, yeah, Chris. No, it's the auxiliary battle cruiser. This is they have that one. Also, they have the Black Shark, is the other one, the GBS, the Great Black Shark, which is a WinCA, if I recall correctly. But I'm not gonna do that one for the tournament. I'm gonna go for the auxiliary battle cruiser. That's the original Win ship that was part of, I think it was called, considered the original 12 of the tournament cruisers. Now, obviously, as I pointed out earlier tonight, that the difficult part here is going to be option mounts. We have to hit that first because of the option mounts define your tactics. Now, as pointed out by Barry last week, the Octopig has a very interesting, it doesn't have much of a strategy. It's got the same strategy each and every time, which is the main strategy of it is to overwhelm your opponents with drones. And to do that, you want to come in and you want to attract them. Now, obviously, that the Octopig has its issues. One of those things being that a ship like the Orion. Hey, I just happened to have something that might have. Oh, sorry, Chris. You're not familiar with the tournament terms. I don't know what to call it, like tournament slang. The whole idea is that the one auxiliary battlecruiser has four built-in drone racks. They can launch speed 20 drones. The tournament, all drones are speed 20. With the option for every tournament ship to swap out two of their, so twice, they'll do this twice, which is two of their type ones for type four. Now, when it comes to the Octo, the thing is with the auxiliary battlecruiser, it has four option mounts. Now, there's some limitations on that in that it has to have at least two what's considered local weapons. Local weapons are those from the surrounding empires, you know, disruptors, phasers, actually phaser Gs, which are limited to one. Drones and ESGs, which is that is an interesting one. Okay, but the Octo doesn't make it. Before I digress, I want to finish the question that Chris had, which is the Octopig is when you have eight drone racks. Now, obviously, the big issue with the Octopig overall, other than the tactics are limited, is that you can only control six drones at a time. It's not a Zindi that has double control rating. So you would, you know, launch six, and then next turn you're gonna launch another six. If you really want to, you can have it so you can have three separate flights of drones all going at the same time. You only have two flights of drones going at any moment of time, but you can, in theory, within a single turn, you can actually have 10 drones on the board, meaning that you saved up six from the previous two turns. Now, would you ever do that? Probably never. Most of the time with an Octopig, the tactic is that you have a full flight of drones, or at least six drones, you can launch, I forget, I'm sorry, I apologize. Because it's eight drone racks, you can actually launch, in theory, within two turns, you can fire, of course, 16 drones. You know, any ship that can actually fight off 16 drones. Now, the big issue there, of course, is that assumes that the previous turn's drones were taken care of. and that usually requires some timing, and you want to be close to your the Octopig, you know, the wing battle cruiser wants to be close to the ship, to their opponent. So the opponent has to deal with the drones, you know. But again, the Octopig has very limited tactics, because the main tactic for the Octopig is simple. You launch a flight of drones. Either, you know, you slow down to have them come ahead of you. Most probably you don't do that. Most probably you want to get close to your opponent near the end of the one turn. Launch the drones. Keep flying in so they're coming in behind you. Then what you do is you get within, you know, get to like range one. You track to your opponent. Then you let the drones have been following you hit or be shot down. And then you launch another six drones. And then you launch another two drones. And possibly two suicide shuttles. So if your opponent is flying the Octopig and you get tractored, just give up then. Now, obviously, most people won't give up. They'll try to beat the crap out of the wind before all the drones hit. Well, actually, before all the drones are launched. Because in my mind, here's the thing. The wind auxiliary battle cruiser, all it has to do is survive. It can be beat up. So there's no engines left. But as long as it has boxes left and you're dead, I mean, you have no boxes left, you're blown up, he wins. I'm not sure if I've seen it or not, but there always is the possibility of tournament battles is something which is exceedingly rare. And that is the whole issue of you and your opponent both blow yourselves up. Your opponent blows you up and you blow him up at the same time, because it has to be at the same instance for that to occur. Now, that is really hard to pull off. Now, if I recall correctly, if let's say that I'm damaged, my weapons blow you up, and because of I blew you up, you blow up, and then you kill me, which in that case, basically, I win because of you. You're dead first. So, but that is an extremely rare case overall. Now, it is possible. This is, as I said, it's possible within the same. Well, actually, if it's the same turn, the important thing is that if it's on the same impulse, that both, like, see, I'm thinking of a situation where you have seeking weapons seeking you. And you're just both are so damaged that you can't fend off any seeking weapons, and you don't have enough power to actually move very fast. And that both the seeking webs strike the ships at the same time. In which case, I think what you'd have to do as a tiebreaker is how many internals are left to still roll. Still to roll. So basically, who blew up the most? In that case. But anyhow, that's what an Octopig is. Now, the one I was going to get sidetracked on, I'm going to mention here anyway, which is another one which has a very limited tactic, and which is called the Bubble Pig. I've actually flown the Bubble Pig at least once. I might have flown it twice, because I really sucked at the first time. And I tried it again anyway. Okay, just to let you know what the Bubble Pig is. The Bubble Pig is this, and which is it's an interesting arrangement, which is An ESG takes two option mounts. So what you do is the Bubble Pig is a win battle Alex battle cruiser, you know, the tournament with one ESG in the front where there's two option mounts. Then on the side option mounts, you install Plasma Fs. So I'm pretty sure those are LPRPs. Forget if the LPRPs are their left side, right side. I would not be able to say definitively without actually pulling out the tournament book. That's one of those two. Anyhow, the whole idea is that, again, you do what you do with the Octopig, which is you come in, you barrel through. Now, the one thing that, of course, the Bubble Pig has for it is two things. One, you can use the ESG as to fend off other tractors, and also you can use it for as a ram to damage your opponent's ship. But also, the good thing about the plasmas are self-seeking. They don't require an active control channel. So you can launch those, then launch drones, and then next turn, if the Plasma F is still in flight, launch some more drones. And you can have, that means you can have a total of 8 seeking weapons on the board at the same time, which is interesting. And of course, what's the beauty of plasma? Plasma don't damage ESGs. So in theory, if you want to, you can actually launch the plasma through the ESG. So now, again, the problem is with drones and ESG is that you don't want to have another Liren incident. Where I still remember reading a little bit of fiction about. Actually, this was a carrier captain who basically the Zinnies were coming in, so he instinctively he raised his ESG right at the same time he's also launching the fighters. Unfortunately, the fighters ran right into the ESG and the fighters died. say the very least, that captain was not in, not very much trusted after that point. So, what is probably let's go with a medium one at the moment when it comes to the Winox, so that we have a medium opponent, and that is it has a term, I forget what it is. But basically, what it is, it's a Hellbore. A Hellbore, a Disruptor, a Phaser G, and I think a Drone Rack? Or, no, I think it might be a Phaser 1. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a Phaser 1. Which is pretty good overall. You know, obviously, the one Hellbore, it'll take quite a bit of power. But at the same time, it's only one Hellbore. And of course, the Disruptor will take quite a bit of power because it's a Disruptor. But also, it's flexible. That's why I consider it kind of an overall, well-rounded package. But let's go with that one because I think that one is a decent one overall for fighting against multiple opponents. Because the way I see it, when it comes to versus the Orion, the big issue with the Octopig versus the Orion is that the Octopig will have an issue doing the one thing it wants to do, which is tractor. He wants to track the Orion. And if he can't track the Orion, he's dead, because what the Orion can do, the Orion can come in, hit the Winox box and run away at pretty good speed, because all you need to do is double everything on the turn of engagement. And you can, and as the Orion, you can actually define when that turn of engagement will be. because now, even if the auxiliary battle cruiser, you know, stops, of course, if it stops, you know, the Orion might have a more difficult point because of all that power can go into a tractor. But it just means that the Orion has to go slow, but the wind also can't do that unless he stops like one hex, you know, between him and the Orion. Now, the Orion, jeez, yeah. He definitely would have to make sure he does not get tractored and he's moving faster than the drones. So, and I think he could actually do that. And not because he wouldn't want to go to range one. He'd want to stay out to at least range two, because of range two, he's got enough power from doubling to fight the tractor. And then, of course, he can also have the speed at the same time. So I feel that that's why you wouldn't want the Octopig, because of the tactic that you want the Octopig to be able to use, you cannot use. It is not effective on the Orion. Now, obviously, the Orion can't do that very often, very too many times, but he doesn't need to. If the wind stops, he's dead. Because the only time the wind wants to stop is if when he going in for the kill. Because at that point, it doesn't matter if he can get back, get cranking again. Because if the wind stops, it is a freighter. It takes a long time to get that going. You know, I forget, I think it's, you can do five, possibly, it's been a while since I've looked at that rule, but I know basically it takes a lot longer to get a freighter up and going, because I think you can only go at max speed of five after going speed zero, not 10. And then you only can double up to maximum of 10 or something like that. Now, you know, I forget, it's been too long, but I know, I remember that definitely it takes a while to get cranked up again. So that's why it's like, okay, I don't think the wind wants to do that. Doesn't want to have that specific package, just because of, I don't think overall it has a real good chance of winning. Of course, the only question I have about the Octopig is, you want to get close. I'm thinking about the Federation versus the Octopig. You want to get close. The Fed wants to get close. What's wrong with this? You don't want to get within those range two of those photons, because you're going to be crippled. And so unless you actually kill that Fed that turn, you're dead. Now, it's possible you can actually do that against the Fed, because of the, with enough drones, you can actually force the Fed to use his phasers, or he has to use the Wild Weasel. But of course, if you can get it so that you're not facing him, if he's not facing you, i.e., out of the arc of the photons, he's in trouble. Because even if he uses Wild Weasels, and you could just keep on blasting the Wild Weasel, blowing up with drones, you know. And that will only delay a maximum, I'm thinking 18. You can have, so it's only 18 impulses. Because four impulses between, you know, when the one goes away. And, oh, actually, no. Might be a little more than 18. But you can still, it's not, it doesn't reach all the way up to 32. So you can't stop it for the entire turn. And in that whole entire turn, you can't fire. So, but anyway. So moving on to the what the Orion needs to pick. Orion has two different option packages. One of them, here's always a gotcha with the Orion. And that is, what do you do with your two packages? You can, obviously, you can use two different packages with two kind of different options. There was one write-up from a Gold Hat where the person was flying an Orion. I'm not sure. It might have been Gold Hat. But it definitely was Radius Tournament. That was the write-up for, which was the guy was flying the Orion. Now, he had two packages, and the old 90% of the time he always chose the one package, and only one time he selected a different package, so which was interesting. But the point is that overall, you can have an Orion has the option to have two different packages. In my mind, if I was an Orion, and Lord knows I've actually flown an Orion. I don't think I've ever flown an Orion. I really should. At least have the experience, because I think I've flown a Gorn. I've flown definitely Romulans. I don't think I've ever flown the Fed. I've definitely flown the Klingon and the Zindi and the Saltorian and the Andromedan, the LDR, the King Eagle. Yeah, I've flown all three of the Romulans. And I think I've flown the regular Lyran 2. I've never flown the ISC. What else? I'm not gonna go with the Jindarians or the other ones, which are not official yet. What else was there? I think that's. Dave, you say ISC is easy to win with. I don't think it's easy. Oh, I've flown the Wind Black Shark. I have definitely flown the Wind Aux Battle Cruiser, and I think that is it for the Empires. The Hydran. Jeez, I might have flown the Hydran. Let me just go through the Tholian. I've flown both the Archeo and the Neo. And anything else? That is it. Yeah, that's all the Empires. Oh man, the Wind Battle Pocket Battleship. That's an interesting ship. I agree there. Of course, fortunately, it only lasts really in the Wind. Cluster, so like you don't really have to worry about that outside of it. One of my favorite ships is actually the Frignaut. That's one of my favorite Klingon ships. Though as I mentioned to Steve Cole, my absolute favorite Klingon ship is the B-10T, which is the tug B-10, which is an interesting ship. But anyway, when it comes to the Orion, what would it be the packages I selected? I would select possibly the definitely have the Orion. If you know there's going to be an Andromeda, you're definitely going to have the Krake Buster package. That's four phaser ones, one phaser G. The idea is you just keep up speed and just blast, blast, blast. And with what would be on my other package? My other package, ooh, that's a good question. Yeah, B10 is a definitely unique choice. But anyway, moving back to that, I'm thinking about, I'd probably take like a Hellbore. Let me think about this again. Personally, I'd probably take a Hellbore with two disruptors and a drone, at least one drone rack to protect the Hellbore, and a Phaser 1. That's probably what I would take. Because the big thing about the disruptors, obviously, is that they're very flexible. You know? So, when it comes to tactics, obviously, the one thing that the Orion has against that can, which is, has the upper hand against the auxiliary battle cruiser, is that the auxiliary battle cruiser, you do not want to ever, ever, ever have to hit. Because you've got a, let me think about this for a moment. I'm pretty sure, yeah. You've got a 2/3 chance of successfully hitting. That means you have a 1/3 chance of basically dying. If you break down, just close up the map, go home. Because it be over. Plain and simple. Now, so that's the one thing that the Orion has against the, well, yeah, I agree. They're mentioning about the D5 and the D5 and the limited Aegis, which is really neat. I agree. That the D5 is way too good of a ship, I think. But anyhow, the Orion has the maneuverability, so it can keep up. It can have the speed that the auxiliary battlecruiser has, but it has the turn mode to beat it. So, obviously, the one thing that in that case, no matter what, since the wind's going to do, and what the wind's got to do, is use his drones effectively, because of the Orion has limited number of phasers. To start off with, it only has, if I recall, I remember this correctly, yeah, it's got 4 phaser ones, 2 front FAR and FAL, so two of the FAL, 2 FAR, so that's 4, and then it's got a right side and a left side phaser 3, and then he has this 4 rear phaser 3s. So when he's running, he's, you know, he can do a pretty good job of you know, knocking things down. So that's the one thing that the Win Oxbox can do against the Orion, which is use the drones to keep the Orion at a decent distance. And at the very least, one or two things: either make sure he keeps his speed up. And here's the one thing: the Orion has to know when to attack. Now, first turn. The one thing that was always interesting to me, and I mentioned this last week, which is the first turn battle pass. You've got a couple options here. Now, as the Wind auxiliary battlecruiser, in my mind, I do a corner dodge. Because, or at least plan on corner dodge, and that is because of the Orion's gonna want to come, if the Orion decides to come blazing in, you can then define what, you know, the distance, and that forces the Orion to come to you. And if the Orion has to come to you, you can go do a corner dodge. Out of the corner, you can launch the drones. You know, you wouldn't completely out of the drone, but what you'd probably do is like halfway to the corner, maybe when you get to the corner, because of you would probably be going at least speed 24. I'd say you're probably going like 20, 24. Is I would think that the battle cruiser would be going. So you would reach the corner in like by the middle of the turn. So possibly by the time you get to the corner, that's when you launch your drones. Yeah, it does look like pig. And so that when if the Orion comes in directly, it's going to have to face the drones and do something. Either he's going to have to knock it down or run away from them. And that's also why you have to... This is, moving drones is always interesting because you want basically you want to move the drones that is a leading trajectory. That is... They're trying to get in front of the Orion. Now, will they be able to stay in front of the Orion? Depends. But that's what you want to do. So you might want to wait till later. Depends on how close the Orion is. But, you know, if the Orion gets within range 10, if you better darn sight have those drones out on the board by that time. Because of he's coming in, the drones are coming out. So that... He should be able to reach range 5 easily. And range 5 is actually a decent range for the Hellbore and decent range for the Disruptor. And, of course, what the Orion's going to want to do is, if possible, he's going to want to avoid the drones, not use his phasers against them if he can. He might be forced to because of what is the one thing that I've always said about drones. Drones are mobile terrain. They're like any other seeking weapon. They're mobile terrain. The whole idea of the drones is to force your opponent to move where you know in a certain direction, whether that's staying at a distance or in the case of also drones, because of they're so more easily killed than plasma. You know, wallop them, use their energy, you know, i.e. the phasers, to knock them down. Which means there's less offensive potential that enemy, in this case the Orion, has against the wind. Now, the big question, of course, is what does the Orion do? In the case, you know, the Orion, when it comes to its initial attack, and the wind does a corner dodge, he probably would come in, and depending upon how well the wind does when it comes to launching the drones, he will either have to knock them down, or if the Orion's going fast enough, because he can do this, it's a little gotcha. It's one of those things that you have to be very careful. And the reason why I say this, because I have done this in the Andromedan, which is you can... If you time it right, and this is not easy always, like actually, it's not easy, period. Have it so that the drones come this way, you're going that way, you can have it so you go past the drones, and they don't hit you. But as the Orion must be going like speed 30 to do this right. In theory, you can probably do a slower speed, but there's always a gotcha with slower speeds. Because the issue is timing of those impulses so that you're moving when the drones are moving, and even when the drones are moving, you're moving too. Which to me defines speed 30. You know, or possibly in speed 29, but you know, with speed 29, I forget when you give up that one impulse. It all depends, you know. So the Orion might actually have to use its batteries to increase its speed up to speed 30 so that it can bypass the drones. Now, if it can bypass the drones, you know, then the Wind Auxiliary Battlecruiser has an issue. So in that case, what you might have to do, if you want to guarantee that he can't do that, is you might have to do a little splitting of the drones to make it more difficult for him to do that. In which case, he'll have to... See, there's the good parts about that and bad parts about that. Good parts about the splitting of the drones is now that it makes it harder to bypass the drones. But splitting the drones makes it easier to kill them. Yeah. So overall, you must probably going to be having a stack and just make sure you try to move them to always, at a leading targeting. Now, given that, the Orion's going to want to come in close and beat up on the Wind. Now, the Wind, if he's coming around the corner, he's going to come around the outside and then turn in. Now, that's when things get hairy, because of your Hellboard's going to be out of arc. So you might be able to, if you have it, you're placing it right, you can probably put Disruptor on that left side. So that it gets if I recall correctly, if you put the Disruptor on the side, I forget if it gets the left side arc, the LS arc, or it's a front arc plus L. Either case, you can fire backwards. So you're not completely unprotected. And obviously, you've got your four phase of ones, which are 360, which is always a good thing. Yeah, I remember the Pacer. The Tampa is now still middle third quarter. Tampa is up 28-7. Dang. So the idea is that the Orion never has to get super close, because overall, I'm even with not being Octopig, the Orion doesn't want to come in too close, because you can still do a bit of seeking weapon injury. That is, if the Winox box can tractor, they can and hold and maintain the tractor, which is the tough part. Over the turn break, it's really hard to do, because the Orion can crank up, it can double his engines and then break the tractor. But the thing is, with the if the Oxbox can actually tractor the Orion, it can still deal out some damage seeking weapon wise, because it's still got four drones and two suicide shuttles. So that definitely can present an issue for the Orion if the Orion gets too close. Now, well, the Orion, that's why the Orion doesn't want to get too close. Stay out into a range of two or three. And of course, what's the wonders of the Orion, assuming that he has not used his reserve power to speed up, he can actually use the reserve power to actually hit and get away from the Wind if it comes into an awkward situation where the Wind can actually turn and bring the Hellbore into arc. Because the whole idea of what the Wind's going to want to do, given that configuration package, is fire the phasers and disruptor, and then the second opportunity, fire an overloaded Hellbore if possible. Obviously, actually it should be possible, because you got enough reserve power to overload the Hellbore, which if I had it, my druthers, that's who I would actually use. I wouldn't use it for overloading the disruptor. I'd standard load disruptor and then have the 3 points available for overloading. Wow, bottom of the fourth, it's still 0-0. Dang. Thank you guys for keeping an eye on the game for me. So that's the top part for the Wind. The Wind can keep up the speed with no issue. Overall. The tough part is that the Wind doesn't have the maneuverability that the Orion has. But the Orion has to worry about one big thing. It is an eggshell. It's kind of like the Andromeda to a certain degree, in that it's got these nice shields. And of course, if you double the engine, you even have more shielding. But as soon as you get through the shields, the nice gooey center, it's got not much of a gooey center. Because it's got what? Four cargo. And then the few phasers doesn't have that many control spaces. Because in theory, you can actually decontrol an Orion, which would be really bad for the Orion. Which is one of the reasons why in the Orion's case, you want to have it so that when it comes to hit and run raids, one of the guards you want to place is some of your control spaces. Because if your control spaces all go bye-bye, you're in big trouble. And that is, obviously, I'm assuming that what you're going to, the reason why you want to do that, you know, you want to protect it, is because of if, as your opponent, if I had an opportunity to do a hit and run raid against your control, one of your last control spaces, I'm going to take the chance. And you definitely want to protect that. To be real pain, I think all you need is 20. You know, around 20, 25. It hurts quite a bit because it doesn't have much internals. Compared to the Winox box has quite a bit more. It's got that nice big section has central and cargo. Center hole and cargo, if I recall correctly. I know it definitely has center hole. I'm not sure if it has cargo, but it has definitely more internals than the Orion. That's one thing I don't have it. There was a Starfleet Times, which was the best Starfleet Times of them all, in my mind. Because the Starfleet Times had a diagram of, it said how many heavy weapons this ship had, how many internals, how much power, I forget what else. I think that might be some other comms, but the big thing for me was the number of internals. Because then you could see relatively the size ship. So you know that, okay, if you blow away half the guy's ship, he's crippled. Which, in the case of the Orion, if the Orion gets crippled, it's got a problem because it loses its head bonuses. Which is one thing you have to remember. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. That's Starfleet Times issue number 15, which is, I don't know if I have that. Okay, let's back up. In the interim of A to B's history, when they still existed, but they weren't able, because of the only person who could publish products at that moment in time, was ADB was working with Task Force Games. That was it, Task Force Games. They were under discussions to basically shut down Task Force Games, basically, because at that point, I forget who was running Task Force Games, and I apologize for not remembering his name. Yeah, it is an awesome table, Mike. He basically was running his business out of a locker, you know, and it's like, which was crazy, because he didn't run it very well. So, you know, basically he was his shutdown test for his games, and actually ADB bought up his stock and bought the IP from him for all the games that were created. Some of them weren't owned by, were not created by ADB, but he got the IP for them. Some of the games are interesting. I've downloaded some of the games. I think it was like Robots. I think one was called Asteroid. There are a number of them. This is from back in the day where you had these small little, you know, pamphlet games, which was a lot more popular, you know, to begin with. And actually the funny part I think it's called Cheap Ass Games. Theirs are like that too. You know, they're very small and so forth. But anyhow, the Starfleet Times was the only, you know, Task Force Games allowed ADB, yeah, Asteroid 04. I think that's right, Chris. Task Force Games allowed ADB to publish Starfleet Times as a kind of a newsletter thing that people could buy and get to keep interest and keep things going, even if they couldn't produce product. They, you know, couldn't produce, you know, more modules or, you know, more, you know, basically more like R modules or any other like Omega or whatever. They couldn't do that because Task Force Games still had the license, and Task Force Games really didn't have the money to do anything. So, you know, then they came up with an agreement, and Task Force Games basically shut down, and ADB, you know, got all the IP from Task Force Games, and then ADB themselves became the publisher of their own product. So, yeah, then the running has 72, the Zinni has 104. Yeah, that was the one thing that really was very enlightening. As I mentioned, it was 2 weeks ago, because it was Zinni versus the Andromeda. And that was the one thing that I was very impressed about the Zinni, which it had 104 internals, which is a heck of a lot. Yeah, the next lowest, of course, is the Romulan TKE. Yep. Oh, by the way, Mike, the Starfleet Times, when it comes to the Andromeda, it's going to be wrong. Because that was the old Andromeda, when it had more boxes. I have to double check to see how many boxes it currently has, but it has fewer than it used to. But anyway, you know, so that's the wind is going to use the drones to keep the Orion at bay, or at least use them, have him use up his phasers. You got to do it judiciously. And you got to get through his shields so that Hellbore can beat him, you know. Of course, what's the Orion going to do? The Orion's going to want to, on the in-between turns, because you both have in-between turns because of the Hellbores, and that is to repair the shield. It even requires a powered repair because the Orion has the power to do it. So, yeah. And the Andro actually is less than 75 at this moment in time. I'd have to bring it up and look. But so the Orion, I think, has, obviously it has the better chance just because of maneuverability. But the issue the Orion over the Winox box has is that the Winox box has more internals, so it can take punishment more, and of course it has more seeking weapons, and therefore the Orion can't let go on all of its phasers. Because it has to think about what is it going to do about those drones. Because number one thing that even the Orion can't do, I feel like, the Orion can't stop. You want to talk about sitting duck. That's exactly what you do not want to do. That'd be nasty. because if the Orion stopped close to the wind's going to stop too, and just tack, bum, 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 and fire, or possibly even for the next turn, tractor up, or at least try to. But it can, but of course, if the Orion stops, I'm saying the only reason why the Orion stops is going that's the way it's going to deal with the. Wow. It's going to deal with the drone. It's going to launch a wild weasel. Now, the question, of course, at that moment in time is that, okay, with the Orion, what's the Orion going to do? Is the Orion going to load up its ship with wild weasels? Or is it going to use suicide shuttles? You know? Overall, if I was the Orion, I'd say use the wild weasels as a backup plan kind of thing. The idea being that if worse comes to worse, you know, maybe that last volley of drones is coming in, you can stop and you'll be fine. But if you have the suicide shuttles require you to get up close and personal, which overall when it comes to the wind, you still don't want to be up and close to personal against the wind unless the wind has no drone racks or drones. Either one. So, overall, it's a tough match. Overall, I think either one can win it. Overall, both are a tough opponent because of, as I said, the wind can fly around like mad, and if you want to, okay, fly the Octopig against the Orion. That'd be an interesting. One, because of obviously you have a lot more drones, and in some cases, you got 8 drone racks. What does that mean? You can actually drop tracking on drones to launch more drones, which you know, well, they cannot avoid. So, I think I'll end it there for the evening. So, with that, I am Paul Franz. I bid you a good night.